Today I will be reading a verse of scripture from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17. And if you'd like to turn there in your Bible, wherever you are. And so James, chapter 1, verse 17. And this has stood out to me this week, and so I want to preach from here. James 1, 17, it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Okay, and so I want to take my text from this verse, and we'll just call this sermon "The Father of Lights." It is Father's Day, 1966. President Lyndon B. Johnson issued the first presidential proclamation honoring fathers, designating the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. 6 years later, it was signed into law by President Richard Nixon. And so, thank God for a day to celebrate fathers. But we see in our world today the work of Satan is very strong. We can see it in his work is to destroy the family. And a strong father figure is what many families lack today. However, all believers have a heavenly Father who doesn't fail, a Father that will never fail. He is the eternal Father, and He gives spiritual light and guidance to His children, and how we need spiritual guidance today. And so let's look at the Word of God and talk about the Father of lights today. First of all, light was the first thing that God created. We know in Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." And this wasn't the creation of the stars and the moon, but this was a natural light of some kind that God put in there as the first thing He said, "Let there be light, and there was light." And like mankind's life before God, as it's mentioned here in Scripture in Genesis 1, the earth was without form and void. It simply means that it was empty. And without God in our life, life is empty. And without the light of Christ, then what an empty life it would be. But thank God that through Christ, we can have the darkness of sin covered up, and instead there wouldn't be the light of Christ and salvation. And so darkness was all there was before God spoke the world into existence. But without the Father of lights, there's only darkness remains. And if we could imagine our world without God, and it's hard for me to imagine a life or a world without God, but we can see the emptiness of sin, and we can see where sin leads. We hear bad news every day of most recently, the killings and the lawlessness in our streets in a nation where that should never be. We see the abuses of mankind. We see racial tensions rising. Our world is getting really dark. But desperately, we need the Father of lights to shine in our world. Jesus even said to His disciples, He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." And so, our nation does not need more political light, more intellectual light. Desperately, we need the light of Christ in our world. Because you see, without Christ, there's only darkness. Jesus described hell as a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. We find in the Bible, God's plagues upon Egypt. We find there was one time when there was a plague of darkness that came upon Egypt. For 3 days and nights, they didn't see anything. They didn't see one another. A darkness so dark and so thick, you could cut it with a knife, so to speak. And so there were 3 days of darkness in Egypt when God brought the plagues upon the Egyptians. And if we go on further to the last book of the Bible, the tribulation period under the bowl judgments, we find that there will be a judgment of darkness there, and very strong darkness. And the Bible says men gnawed their tongues for pain and did not repent of their evil works. And so we know that darkness is not what we need. We need the light of Christ. In heaven that we're going to, my friend, fellow believer, is a place of eternal light. The Bible says the Lamb is the light thereof. So Christ will be there. There will be no darkness in heaven. There will be no darkness of sin ever. Once in that beautiful city, in that wonderful place that God has prepared for his children, it will be a place where the light of Christ and the glory of God shines forever and a day. Praise the Lord. And so light was the first thing that God created. And second, we see that God created not only light of the day in the creation, but he created spiritual light. Therefore, he is the Father of lights. And spiritual light exposes spiritual darkness. Wherever Jesus went in his earthly ministry, earthly life here, sinful things were exposed. Lies, false teachings, self-righteousness was exposed. There was a time when Jesus came up on earth. They brought, the Pharisees and the scribes, they brought a woman to Jesus who was caught in the act of adultery. And they were trying to bring something out of Jesus that wasn't there. And they said, Master, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And according to the law of Moses, she should be stoned. But what do you say? Nobody knows for sure what this was, but Jesus stooped and wrote on the ground. We don't know what he wrote. Maybe he was writing down some of the sins of the people that were accusing the woman. I don't know. But let's understand this. They brought this woman in the very act of adultery. My question was, what about the man? Because it takes two to commit adultery. And we know that in the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, both the man and the woman, if they were caught in the act, should be stoned. And so apparently this was a setup and a cover-up. And maybe one of the men they were there accusing the woman was one of the men, was the man that was caught in the act with her. I don't know. But we know that Jesus forgave her of her sin and sent her on her way and told her not to sin anymore. And so we know that God, and when Christ was here upon this earth, wherever there was darkness, the light of Christ shone upon it and revealed everything. Amen. And Jesus is a spiritual light. The Father sent into the world. As a matter of fact, Jesus claimed to be the light of the world. John 8 and 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And today, with a world falling apart, a world pandemic, with fighting, murder, racial tensions on every hand, no peace and no love, how we need the Father of lights to come on the scene. And I can tell you today that God is never absent. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's all-present. And my friend, you and I can have the light of Christ to walk in. We don't have to walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. We have Christ, the light of the world, guiding us and leading us. And that's what we need. And let us lift up Christ to a world today. And the world doesn't need people lifted up, doesn't need more personalities lifted up. The world today needs Christ, to see Christ high and lifted up. The Bible says in John 3:14, and Jesus said there, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so also must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Jesus came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so we need a lifted up Christ today. He's the answer. He's not sort of an answer. He's not one of many answers. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to lift him up. We need to exalt him in the way that we live. When we encourage our children and grandchildren and fathers and mothers, we need to lift them up to Christ and say, Christ is the way. Let's follow the teachings of Christ throughout the scriptures. Let's get our eyes upon Jesus. And Jesus said, if I be high and lifted up, then I shall draw all peoples unto me. Not only has God created spiritual life, but it says here in our text that every good and perfect gift is from above. Everybody wants a perfect gift and a good gift. But every good and perfect gift has to have a divine source, because there's nothing good in this world. I mean, no one is righteous, not even one. It takes God to make people good. But all the blessings of salvation, eternal life, fellowship with God, spiritual birth, hope, love, and life, all these come from above. If you think of how many things that you have that are kind and things that are worth mentioning, it has to come from a divine source, has to come from God if it's really good. And so we have many things, and we have the examples of the blessings of salvation, Ephesians chapter 1. And so we know that everything that we have as Christians, as a believer, has to come from above. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, it says that God chose us. That's one of the blessings of salvation. You didn't choose God. God chose us before the foundation of the world. And it says in Ephesians 1 that he predestined us, marked us out beforehand. And it says in verse 6 that he has accepted us. And so we're accepted by God. In verse 7 it says we're redeemed, made purchased, bought, made one of his. And that we have forgiveness of sins because of Christ. These are the blessings of salvation. And says also in him we have received an inheritance. Verse 11. Ephesians 1 and 11. And it also says in verse 13 that we're sealed or marked out by the Holy Spirit of promise. And we're identified as one of his children. So the blessings of salvation are tremendous. And God has blessed us. All these gifts are good and perfect. And they come from the Father above, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And so God is above. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Amen. God is above government, above human persons, above personalities, above all that mankind can produce. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Salvation of the soul is something that God gave. Not something that we earned, but something that God saved. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we know that it has to come from above. The blessings of salvation do. So we've been given the gift of eternal life. And Jesus told his followers, if you can imagine being with Jesus 3 years and seeing all his miracles, his signs, his wonders, even from healing all types of sickness and disease, and even seeing the dead raised, and how that Jesus says, I'm going away, and how the disciples must have thought, you know, how are we going to make it here without you, Lord Jesus? But Jesus said, I've got something else for you. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And the word comfort there in Greek parakletos means one called alongside to help, translated the helper in the New King James Version. And so that's a correct translation. So he's a helper, he's a counselor, he's a comforter, he's everything you need. The Holy Spirit is not something that God that you get. The Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send one of the same kind, the Holy Spirit of God. And so the gift of salvation is a good and perfect gift. And they all come from God. And if we look at the Holy Spirit, if we were to back up a few books, in the book of Galatians, we find there that Paul mentions to the church there, he mentions the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit are things that proceed from God. The fruit of the Spirit is not something we earn or we can make. They come from God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Because you see, those cannot come from somewhere else. They have to have a divine source. You're not going to get any peace from this world. You're not going to get any joy. There may be things here that make you laugh, but it's not real joy. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all of those have to come from God. They have a divine source. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And so the fruit of the Spirit are those things that come from God, from above. Okay? And as we live for God and walk with God, we can grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And God intends for us to. Amen. So every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. So let's look at that for just a moment. No shadow of turning. If we look at the sun that rises every day, actually the earth turns. But in the natural, as a day draws near evening, shadows begin to come to form as natural light begins to fade from the earth as another 24-hour cycle starts to end in our day. And then when light fades, shadows begin to grow, and then dusk, and then twilight, and then darkness. That's the natural things that happen in a day. But it says here that Christ, we're talking about the Father of lights here. Just look at this in comparison. With God, there is no shadow of turning. There is no shadow developing about God. He's the Father of lights. In Him, there's no darkness. Spiritually, there is no shadow of turning with God. First John chapter 1, verse 5 says, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So we know that God is light. There is no shadow of turning with God. God, the light of Christ, the light of God, doesn't become more dim regardless of how many days and years and months this world is. God is not, there is no shadow of turning with Him. All the moral light and purity in the universe has to be traced to Him, to God. The word Father here is used in a sense which is common in Hebrew as denoting that which is the source of anything or that from which anything proceeds. So everything came from the Father. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And it says here, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't turn and become someone else or something else, regardless of what happens in society. What God is, who He is, what He has always been and always will be. With Him, there is no variation, there's no variableness, not even the appearance of turning. God is not going to love you less as time goes on. God is not going to care for humanity less than He started caring for them when He created them. God does not change, and there is no shadow of turning with God. He is always the same at all seasons of the year and in all ages. There is no change in His character, His mode of being, His purposes and plans. And you're being a child. If you've made the choice to follow Christ, I'm not talking about those who have made the choice to follow Jesus just while it's convenient. But you're being a child of God does not change. You're not going to one day not become a child of God unless you turn your back on God and turn away from God. But God's plan for you was to save you and for you to keep living for Him no matter what. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. God has no plans for you to stop becoming His child. He wants you to follow Him, walk with Him no matter what. Do I have the choice to change if I want to? Yes, people have the choice. God created mankind with the choice. But who in their right mind would want to turn away from a God that's so good and has wonderful things in store for our eternity? And God's acceptance of you does not change. God's eternal dwelling place for you does not change. He's going to prepare a place for you. He's preparing that place that when He comes again, He'll receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. God's love, God's care, God's protection, God's provision for you does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God was millions of ages before the worlds were made, He is now. And what He is now, He will be countless millions of ages hence. He's not going to quit. We may be sure that whatever changes there may be in human affairs, whatever reverses we may undergo, whatever oceans we may cross or mountains we may climb, or whatever worlds we may hereafter take up our abode, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a father of lights with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. We have a wonderful Heavenly Father who cares for us today. His faithfulness, His character, His purposes, His love, the hope that He gives doesn't change. God is eternal. Amen. And so we know that God is forever our Father. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 puts it well. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. I can tell you something, friend. The Father of lights has no variableness nor shadow of turning. Let's stay with God. Let's live for Him and walk with Him and be His people. And when He comes again, we'll be ready to meet Him. The Bible does say, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. There will come a day when Jesus will return. My friend, He's going to return for His people, His own. He's going to catch us up to meet Him in the air at the rapture of the church, and then we're going to come back with Him 7 years later to rule and reign in righteousness as He rules and reigns for 1,000 years of peace, and we're going to be a part of His kingdom. And my friend, just remember, God is who He says He is. He will never change. He doesn't need to change because He's perfect. We need to change. People need to change. Things need to change. But God never needs to change because He's always perfect. And every good and perfect gift comes from above. And He is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Amen.